And first, Rinpoche started out by asking the question, If we have only aspirational bodhicitta, can that be the entire basis for our Dharma practice? And the answer to that question, Shantideva says, is no. And that is described in verse 17. Again, I don't have exactly the same version of the root text you guys. Although great fruits occur in cyclic existence from the mind that aspires to awaken, an uninterrupted flow of merit does not ensue as it does with the venturing mind. So the meaning of this verse is basically that even though we do accumulate merit from having an excellent motivation, when we're not engaging in bodhicitta practice, we're not increasing that merit. And as a result, there will be breaks in it. There's no continuity. So in order to have continuity in our bodhicitta practice, meaning for it to be manifesting at each and every moment, we not only need that aspiration in the mind, that excellent motivation, but we also need to be engaging through our every action, every moment. And Rinpoche said this is an idea that can be unfamiliar to Western Buddhists, the idea of accumulating merit, but the scriptures in many places, and entire scriptures in fact, describe the need to accumulate vast amounts of merit as a support for Dharma practice in this life and especially in the future. So when we're not working with engaged bodhicitta, we're not going to be able to sustain the accumulation of merit. And then what else is necessary to give rise to perfectly pure bodhicitta? And now we're not only talking about aspirational, but we're talking about twofold bodhicitta, so aspirational and engaged bodhicitta. So Rinpoche suggests the idea of renunciation. Renunciation is a word in Dharma language that basically means we give up the idea of samsara making us happy. That's a good way to understand renunciation. And he quoted Jeton Kapa, a great scholar, who said, without stainless renunciation, the resultant liberation cannot be attained. And why is it that without renunciation we can't attain liberation? Well, we are constantly grasping at samsara. We're not giving up hope that samsara can make us happy. So we're two-minded, or we have a conflict in our own minds. On one hand, we experience the suffering of samsara and we want to practice the Dharma. And then on the other hand, we're hoping samsara can make us happy. And so there's a conflict going on inside of us. For this reason, in order to be an authentic Dharma practitioner, we need to resolve that conflict within us. And developing strong renunciation then will really help us to develop bodhicitta. When we have renunciation and we give up the idea that samsara will make us happy, suddenly it becomes much easier then to open our minds and our hearts to others, because we just lack that expectation that everything around us is there to make us happy. We just deal with things in a different way. So how do we develop perfectly pure renunciation? Well, we have to reflect on the nature of samsara as being suffering. And we talked about that a little bit last week. We talked about how oftentimes what happens is that we have exceptions in our mind. We think, well, this part of my life, samsara is suffering, but I like these parts. And so again, there's a conflict going on inside us. And that's our difficulty resolving renunciation within us. Sort of again, as we were talking about yesterday, then when we try to practice bodhicitta and we think about treating our loved ones and our enemies in the same way, if we're invested in samsara, it becomes very difficult to do that. So logically speaking, you can see why developing renunciation and understanding the nature of samsara is suffering to be very important. Rinpoche said it's so important that we spend a fair amount of time contemplating how every place in samsara and every situation in samsara is actually pervaded by suffering. And this seems to be something that a lot of us have a very hard time believing. When we look at other people, we oftentimes have the feeling that other people have found happiness. and that we're the ones who are suffering, and there's something wrong with us, or something wrong with how we're dealing with things, because why do other people feel fine when we feel miserable? And again, that's a contemplative exercise. That's something that we're going to have to actually allow ourselves to realize, is that other people are suffering just as much as we are, maybe in slightly different ways. But no matter where we are in this world, we're not going to find a place where people aren't suffering, even though we may like to look at people on the outside and imagine that they feel fine. And then again, Rinpoche quoted the scriptures saying, lacking renunciation, the stainless cause of bodhicitta will not be found within the mind. So Rinpoche said, he also suggests that before he sees you again, so in the spring when we have nyume practice, he said, use your brain, use your intellect, and actually in your daily life, think about whether or not it is true that all sentient beings are suffering, and that every being in every situation, in every country and place in this world is suffering or not. And Rinpoche said, he really thinks this will help you to generate twofold bodhicitta, aspirational and engaged bodhicitta.
Dī shūrūṅ khurvā dhūṅgār kārāṅ jīn yīnyā lā sāṅgū tāṅ māsāṅ yā kī yīm chāndhī kārī rī sēnā ngā rāṅ sōk sāṅgū tāṅ cār māshī yā lā tēn nē tāṅ sāṅ gyō mārī kāṅ sēnā sēm gyō bā chūk kārī yīn nā yā mē khurāṅ kārāṅ jīn cāvā yīm bā jī shī yōṅ dū dī cāvā yīm bā shī yā cāṅ kī mē khurāṅ kārāṅ jīn dī hā kō yā tēn nē dī rāṅ kī kārī lā kōrē Neshi ki ha goya la tenne, hyakpar, miksar, ngoma ha ma goya chikde, ksar ha goya chik yo kar. Da yindu korwa korang ka rangujin de, me ka rangujin cawa dang, chi korang rangujin ar lanba yinba nabu de ha go tupna, samne, rang la dukmar de myong yong na yang, dukmar ka rangujin de yinba, shi ne dukmar de lamde kishi ya ka chok chak tup yo. Tenne nami chu dhubiya de khchikpo maartok se kyerpa dewa dam tharba mepa de hakwa thabiya dam tenne telab tenne korwa dungar karangujin korwa la nyungbo mepa yimba shiya la tenne nami chu la tondiv shiya dam nami chu nyamsi lendu zoba shiya la sokpa ki chok de chaktab ki yore de sem nam shok tenne khyantok chik se na kasang ngarang so ki Songchu tsardu, tresi ki dhwajik shwe song, kongki tsadme vijude ngumma tsor maamnyong. Tane tsadme vijude ka songchu de nga tsu dhukab shwe du, ta donghnyom tsadme tam nyangje tam shamba de tso la khyapar yodhya de shita kongki hako gomadu la song, kherangke kongso teki khyapar de lok chane de tijik, or dhukmar wala mek ne nyangje tam, de dhapo de tijik lak thup karebe.
Ni lak tu kare yinan, ni ta wane ninje tang shenpa ki kibar hakwe le labore yinan tang yung, di kari yinan kibo du parcher di komo chokyo sare, kero ki te la kanda dan dam.
Ok, tang yung chadme se ya de chak tang tang tarwa chak tu, te yakpo yu marbe. Takpa ngarang so le kibo meba yung yaki kimsen se na chak tang ka wang da shokyo.
Right.
Tang gu tani Dāngyān tī chak tāng tārne, dāngyōng tī chak mā tūp nā, tēne sēmchān tām chē lā mīk nē shiān bā tāng, sēmchān tām chē tā dukmār lē dhōrndot kī tēne nyōng jē lā sō pā chik kiāng tēp tūp yōng.
Tēne
tī shiān bā tā kishin rā.
So, sometimes when we hear teachings on the nature of samsara, we really push them away. Rinpoche said, thinking about the nature of samsara being suffering is something that we don't want to think about. And sometimes people tell Rinpoche it makes them feel depressed or disappointed or sad. And Rinpoche said this is not a problem with the teaching. This is a problem with not understanding how to contemplate this particular teaching. If we really have renunciation and we really understand the nature of samsara to be suffering, it should actually empower us. It should make us feel better in a way. Because, for example, we know that the nature of fire is heat. We know that the nature of water is wetness, and we don't expect it to be anything else. We don't have any hope, or we don't confuse ourselves about what's going on. And Rinpoche said, that's not what happens in our ordinary lives. In our ordinary lives, when something difficult happens, we think to ourselves, the nature of samsara is suffering. But then that changes, and then we get confused about it. And we expect samsara to be something else. Or we look at other people and how they look on the outside, and we project onto them, oh, samsara is suffering for me, but that person doesn't have to suffer the way I do. And that causes us all kinds of internal turmoil and disconnection with others. These are very difficult emotional problems to deal with. So actually, when we think about the nature of samsara being suffering, it just helps us see the world more clearly. And again, as Rinpoche has mentioned multiple times, he's not saying that you don't enjoy happiness when you experience it. In fact, immeasurable joy is about rejoicing in everything. But you're not expecting it to stay that way forever. You're not expecting it to be something it isn't. It's just a moment. It's just the expression that's happening at that moment. And so when it changes, if you understand the nature of samsara, you're not gonna feel disappointed. Oh, why did that change? Why was my marriage going really well and now it's really difficult? You're not expecting it to stay any certain way. So Rinpoche said, if we think about the fact that in samsara there's no lasting happiness, that activities we do in samsara are insubstantial, they're not permanent, they're not essentially going to bring us to some happier state, we become more patient and more diligent. And additionally, when we see difficult situations arise, and also when we see happy situations arise, we think to ourselves, oh, this particular situation has arisen, and it's impermanent, and the nature of samsara is suffering, and I'm going to use this as an opportunity to practice. And if it's a happy situation, we can rejoice, we can wish for all sentient beings to share that, so we can share that experience with others. It doesn't mean we're not enjoying it and we need to be depressed about it. It's just that we're sharing it. We're not going to be self-centered and we're not going to be so self-focused. And the same way, when we have a difficult situation and suffering, instead of getting in that place of my suffering is so unique, everything's so hard for me, we're going to think every being on this planet, they may not be suffering exactly the way I am, but they're suffering just as much, maybe in a slightly different way for different reasons, but we're all suffering. And we can, in that way, share compassion, loving kindness, and that wish that all sentient beings feel better. And then yesterday, Tracy asked a question. She said she'd never heard teachings on the four immeasurables, and she wanted Rinpoche to clarify immeasurable equanimity, loving kindness, and compassion, so I'm going to do that quickly for you. So the words of the prayers are different, so I'm going to clarify those, but also explain why they go in that order. So in the beginning, we wish for all beings to be in a state of equanimity, free from desire and anger. And Rinpoche said this is the basis of everything. And we may not understand, like sometimes we have a hard time understanding, well then are we just going to be devoid of feeling and what are we wishing for people? But Rinpoche said all of our suffering is caused by these very strong emotions we have. So when we think about wishing for our loved ones and our enemies, to experience equanimity and not to be tormented by very strong desire and very strong anger or strong afflictive emotions, we're just wishing for them to have a mentally peaceful state of mind. And we're wishing that for our loved ones as well as our enemies. And we kind of need to have this equanimity right in the beginning, because if we can't even wish for people to have mental peace, then how can we go about, you know, wishing for them to have happiness and wishing to share our happiness, what we have with them? So first, we're just making this wish for them to be free of strong emotions, and that's equanimity. And then loving kindness, May all beings experience happiness and the cause of happiness. So we're just then wishing for equally our loved ones and our enemies to experience happiness. So that's harder than just wishing for them to be free of strong emotions. We're actually wishing for maybe someone who's harmed us very deeply. We feel strong resentment towards to feel happiness. And we're forgiving them. We're treating them equally to our loved ones. And then the third one, compassion. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and the cause of suffering. So on top of that, we're not just wishing for them to be free of strong emotions and then to have happiness, but also to be free of suffering and the cause of suffering. So each time we're developing our motivation a little bit deeper with regard to all sentient beings, and we're doing that for both our loved ones and our enemies.
Momba dang jukpa chang chip ke sem gyu so dam la khabra yo ba de la sam momba chang chip ke sem gyu so dam dam je da bo yen na gya chen bo kham bo khor wa la yo de ne kap sup so dam gya chen bo yong ya la so pa la than thab yo re yen na ya jukpa chang chip ke sem gyu so dam nang jen ta ne gim me chat ba dang kong phar tan do ya ke nu ba de yo ma re yo so yo ta te yen du ta jual ha ke ngarang so la khan ra so gyu re se na sem shuk te Terong nevzongte songa kang nevzongte semjeng kang thai rapte doorweb shirmer topai semgi se semde yon dao lang warab yu song. Ten nevzongte ganyet lok kang lak mekir kiong so nang kur gin min chad ba tama je nam kanyang barabte do song ne. Ta nima terong nevzongte. Thai pe semjeng thang chad. Har tukum jiwa dam, anil kap kap dewa la sopa tobiya ku chetu, monju ku shang chip ke sem de zon ya ki, sem shuk tong zon rwa na ng song yor. Te idu momba tong ju ku shang chip ke sem de na ha chong sodom chenpo tong stop chenpo yinbi fir na, ti terang ne zon te. Anil ya kranil kap yin na yang da, wakmet pa kranil kap yin na yang da, yar lang ya tang ro ya tang za ya tang thong ya la so pa kyo lam thang je de ri jun me chat pa jiba la tam ja wa mon ba shang chip ke sem tam ri ju la tam ja wa ju pa shang chip ke sem se ge yore de ra ni tang nam yang ba yer ba me ba nam yang mam jar ba te ro na so ne ri ya ti ju la ti tang bu shang chip sem ge pa yon ke le ge de so ne pa yon chim bo yin ba de so khpe tang ramada ki tan tene te ke ji la mon ba tang ju pa chan chip ke sem ge kor la ngo to shi ta shi shi te ke ji la tene mon ba tang ju pa chan chip ke sem da ha jam sonum chen bo yin bi phyar na tene sem chan ki do don shi zam khan ki ga zap chi gen ne zong te de le chok ke la ji yo mar te yen du de la gyun de te no na song ne kong ru ki ta kong ki de lap shi te sem shuk te ya Kurmani zogu yore, techikla.
So verses 18 and 19 come next, and these are verses of encouragement. Basically, they're saying from today forward, if you are a being who has given rise to bodhicitta, you should never give it up. You should continually remain within it. And additionally, this mind of bodhicitta is so powerful that once you give rise to it, even if you're asleep or if you're being unmindful, you're going to accumulate very great merit simply from having given rise to this awakened mind and attempting to remain within it. So a summary of the chapter so far is in the beginning we talked about the benefits and the good qualities of bodhicitta, because we were trying to understand why this is a practice that we should start to develop. And second, Shantideva has defined aspirational and engaged bodhicitta practice for us so that we begin to understand how we practice it. And third, Shantideva is now encouraging us to actually train in bodhicitta because it helps us to attain great merit. And if we're a person who wishes to benefit others through the practice of the Dharma, we must continually work at training in bodhicitta. And so he instructs us to try to never separate our mind from this awakened state. state of mind.
Tātani arumbab jindā, tātani nā ngā rāng tōk, dī jīwāl hā kōrāng kī lāpshā jikirī mār tōk sī kīrwa, dī sāngkī kī lāpshā tāng, lōng kī nāng lā, lōng tāng rīpā kāng tāng yāng mṛdān bā jikirī yīp sāngā tēn rāpa mār. Sāngkī kīm dō kī nāng lā sōng yō rē, dī chhār jīwāl hā kīw dī rē, dī yōng tū, Kyojik sawa kikab soksong yore, ndanan thadpa tamji pe lakshang ki na jiba le, mama samjan tongi yubshir, tevjang shakwa niji khong songne. Ndi, gyarwar tokpa sangli ki long dam yam thangba yam song. Kari re se na, lakshang jibi fshangchik senfa ki jibi mdo ki nangla. Tani, fshangchik ki sem de, nyam su langna, Rangjin tam che ke ton de drup thabya de tevijang shekpa ki khsong yo re se te lungi ngakpa de zat ki. Ta te yin na ata lunga nang na khsong yo dan de rikpa tang thambare pe samna. Rikpa tang thambare semchang nam ki khlad na tsum salo nyam dup samna yong panduk samba dang dan de so nam pang mim jang jir na. Semchang re re mab deva pak to mebab sarang do jang. Re re gang yon dan pang me de dhupan do bak mu chuku song. Jiba lak. Semchen thamche ke go naya ke na cha de le tharwar kyerchi samne samba ji ke na yang so na pak de me ba yo ba de sangri ge ke do da jin ju khe pa dan ju na la khsung ge ha jam so ni chung de gre a gong hong song bo ji gong hong song bo de la de na ti gong hong song bo de le shung yi je ba de yang song bo ji de yo Then the same chin choking go not daily tarwa, jitchik sam if samba zombo de young, hajam sonam chimbo yimba de dogan on a sangi shakamonic song. That day in the same chin already mugdeva, pot the member sambo young song. Shanship kissim, mumba shanship kissim, don't you buy shanship kissim, Nina? Same chin already key or dukumar tamcha de star. Type the same chin tamcha dukumar tamcha de tarne. मुदेव सहां के माधव के पार्ट डुंडोत के सांबातां तेला अंगूस जुक ने डबिया के शावा चिकियन तो देव सोनम चिंबो ये नियातां दे डबो की तां न्यामने नामक सर मेडिया ते लब गो हमारे स्मूच को सों रिपा तंग तंग बारे से तने जवाल है कि लूं तंग रिपा निशा तंग तंबा यंबा दे सों दे योरे ते नगारं चोके ते सचिक Shkukpa chigi nang, samlo chigi tang nang, sambab zangbo chigi yot na yang, te la phantok pakta mepa yobba jak sungu yotu. Semchen tham chibla na mepa sangye mato ke parta khamsum khorwa la. Datne, jambi yang tam, shaknao dorje tam, shanik zik nang jen, semchen kun chit, japchi zogu yin, jantan rukku yin, samne, Tenda po tamcha zoya tang, tamcha tang tanda shiong tam khan chik yin na, te kub sotnam te sam gi mecha pa tang, rigyum mecha pa kongpher tan roya te, lak mo ko wa chikri. Tawa lehne mershi tang, chirkyar lehne chirshi, te shanshi san hua lor dan gyerik na chadma tak le shiik songpa naam jim re. Te chik la rono?
Kama kare re?
Tawa lehne mershi tang, chirkyar lehne
chirshi. Oh, okay. Okay, so in verse number 20 is included because some might say, well, this text was just composed by Shantideva, it's not the actual words of the Buddha. And so there are some who aren't going to trust something that was not specifically spoken by the Buddha. And so it says, for the sake of those inclined towards the lesser vehicle, this was logically asserted by the Tathagata itself in the sutra requested by Subahu. And the Tathagata is referring to Buddha Shakyamuni. So basically it's letting us know that these same instructions were given in the sutras by Buddha Shakyamuni, and so we can trust them. And this is something that we often read in Buddhist teachings. The author wants to help us feel that the text is supported by scripture or supported by the words of the Buddhists themselves so that we know that it's in keeping with tradition. that it's going to lead to the realization of an actual Buddha. And then second, they want us to see that the teaching is logical, because then we'll be able to follow the teaching more easily, we'll trust the practice more easily. So that's the purpose of the next couple of verses. In verse number 21 and number 22, if even the thought to relieve living creatures of merely a headache is a beneficial intention endowed with infinite goodness, what need is there to mention the wish to dispel their inconceivable misery, wishing every single one of them to realize boundless good qualities? So the Buddha Shakyamuni says, just to pray for sentient beings to be relieved from ordinary pain brings such an excellent result based on an excellent motivation. What need is there to mention the great merit that comes from wishing beings to be completely free of suffering? And we may think to ourselves, but wishing for beings to be free of suffering is just a wish in the mind. We haven't really done anything. But here, this teaching is telling us that there is very, very great merit, even in
having that. So
there's very great merit because we're not only aspiring for sentient beings to be free of misery, but we're also then going to engage in bodhicitta. We have the examples Rinpoche mentioned yesterday of these great shepherd bodhisattvas, Manjushri, Vajrapani, and Avalokiteshvara, whose excellent motivation is constantly accruing great merit because they have decided to remain within samsara, abiding on the tenth bhumi, to continually benefit sentient beings.
Yes, Tani kanda song duk serna. Then double panyun chimbo, the hanyon tuk chimbo ki nyaninji. Moma yu yu mamyu, tasta yu yu mare, mamba yu yu mare. Ti yen tun de la zoji fkedia tang, de la bapa shia ki chit, kurma zo yu yu, jibal hak. Ten wune tonera. Ten aram to samu tang yu na, jibal hak song duk pagam yu na, mayon no slander pants and yu hadang tang 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 yu na, tumbala yu na, tang song. I don't know what to do. That's all I am.
Verse number 23. Do even fathers and mothers have such a benevolent intention as this? To the gods and sages, does even Brahma have it? So in this verse, Shantideva is showing how there is no being that we're connected to in this world, maybe up until now, who's encouraged us to have this kind of excellent motivation. And our parents love us so much. They are the people who have cared for us and wished for us to be happy and tried to teach us to be happy. And even at some point in your life, or in our culture at least, there are other kinds of spiritual beliefs. But nobody has revealed to us the idea of aspirational and engaged bodhicitta and taught us that we could be happier people if we cut through our self-attachment, if we worked with bodhicitta. Rather, what the world has taught us is how to behave within samsara, thinking that this will make us happy. They have taught us how to be partial to our loved ones, how to keep our enemies at bay, or perhaps even take revenge on them. They have taught us how to do business, how to be successful materially, and how to accrue wealth, thinking that these things will ultimately make us happy. But now we have the chance to actually learn how to develop aspirational and engaged bodhicitta. So this is another verse of encouragement. And then Rinpoche wanted to mention that we've talked a lot about aspirational bodhicitta being a very vast intention, and then engaged bodhicitta being something which continually helps us to accumulate merit. And this text, and in fact, in this chapter even, the full meaning of the six paramitas is going to be shown. And Rinpoche said after lunch he will talk a little bit about the paramita of generosity, and that being the first of the six paramitas, part of engaged bodhicitta.
Tate kje la mamta ne jwa lagi sem shuk teri adam nyamne de la zondi shit ko ya kurma do nga se na kurma do sem jan de da gnya la ngorong do ndan da sem lam ta mar mi na jan di do da kala sem song ta mo ne de ra ngarang so ki rang pesa wa chim bo so yo re yin na yang ngarang so ki che da mon che yang de da bo ke sam no ji pe mi mo or duk na tham che da ra ra do pa ki shang che ke sem cham me ba je ngarang so ki go da la ma da ma da mong go ji mi ri yo re yin na yang go da la ru ma lam nang la yang de da bo ji mi mi yo rang ki che da yang de da bo ma lam ji tang ma yang na Dera was some of the woman, have you your mother, Tatan, have your mother? Jansen, Jantam, Chit, and there was some of the Chipiada. Garlic, for it. Tip mustard by any other, love of Marin. They into the yinchip, munchip, shanship, same day. Mixer in batty, long tongue, ripper, to be a mother. ते लाई ग्याप क्यों रहते जुबान लागे कुर्मा जोने तं आराम से की ममता ते न्यामने शेष्टा वचन बोले एक सुबह उसारे
verse number 24 if those beings had never before even dreamt of such an attitude for their own sake how would it ever arise for the sake of others so the meaning of this verse is that all of us put ourselves in the center of everything. Rinpoche said we all love ourselves. So I don't really want to say it that way because Westerners sometimes don't feel like we love ourselves. But whether or not we feel like we love ourselves, we certainly make ourselves so important. We are definitely the dominant part of our lives and our thinking. But we've never even thought about for ourselves trying to embrace an attitude and a state of mind that will free us from suffering. Much less have we thought of extending that to others. It seems almost impossible that without being taught to do so that we'd ever think of it on our own. And so again, this verse is praising the generation of twofold bodhicitta. And here, Shantideva is complimenting his encouragement based on scripture and logic with direct instruction telling us we should practice.
Tatani take a jilama, then chanchik ki sem la biyan de na hormat de shonwa phur de shonwa ngoma kim mam nyu ma ji mi phir na ranchen se na maram chon jik de ng kap ko kam de rumbo che de sa wa chen bo ji zo yo de den nam je sem ge ren jin kya bran de shna na me de ma ji chong song de ta maram so ke mom ba chanchik ki sem de gid la ki ala chat me ta ju ko lo jum 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 Tane tsame ba ko lo ku jangwa te tsok tambu chak yong tu mombab shang chip kisim te Gid la kye lan babab she Mombab shang chip kisim te tsok gid la kye yong de Gawa tang jepi ko ne Mombab shang chip kisim tong jubab shang chip kisim te tsok la nyam nip she go yo Kawin se na ngoma yot mam yong la ki Ngoma mi chip la yang Sem la hip mam yong ya ka gong hong zang bo Sambab zang bo Shodlam zangbo chik, ngaram tsukki gidla chung yungtu tila gawa dang jibi kwa ni nyamsi len kwa ya de, tangi yung re. Ndowa kanki gawa gidu ngar tam zi ser giro rinjin sen yungi so dam kang tila chitra zayat ki lang son du ta, ndowa tam zi. Vdewa topshi ki kong hong tam, vdewa topya ki chit, tani paru topshin ba chukki nyam nin de tso tam zi na. Hachang. Mixer yinba te zhip tsare, te yin tu ten dapo mixer chik yin na te la ten ne shiong wib sot nam na ngaram tsoke tsat chik gyab ko na rizyal ko na rizyal ki milang ware song rizyal mata ba chik re song ne shir tang shumambab shang chip kisim kutso wu zho ne jival hakin de la ngak ba chik gyab ki ware ta samu yaku chik tang na kerang tso tsama thob shiong yon ken tak tak re Tani yinna yang kerang soku kyonchuk sawa te gholok tu Gholok yak chikpo maashtok se kirwa nangtun te Semshung sherab ki takshet kam kyo yurte kirwa tsamchik maashtok pa Ngune rangi sem la vjar Nangtun te rangi li ngak yiksum pi myungya am tsurtup yan rabo ki gowa chik te Ngarang soku tumunganay kaps lintak kyo maare ngone tongne thumung ka ne kap se ten da bo long tang ar pa dang tne chma la sam lo chik dang ne chik to ne jis tran ne ling ng yih sum ge chor wa ge myung thab yan da bo ki chor thab yan da bo ki nyong wa ji ma le ki par da shang chip ki sem de ki la ki la ba ta she na shang chip ki sem de ki la ki ma ta pa ji ma re ki thab yan ji kre yena yang thamong gane kab la ngarang chok le de la bo zo ge ma
verse number 25 this intention to benefit all beings which has not arise in others even for their own sake is an extraordinary jewel of the mind and its birth is an unprecedented wonder so in this verse Shantideva is praising Bodhicitta saying that it's marvelous and that it's precious it's amazing that we thought of it, or not that we thought of it, but that we have the chance to give rise to it. And so we should rejoice. And when we rejoice and recognize how lucky we are, that should give us the energy to give rise to twofold bodhicitta. We should reflect on how we've never had the chance to do it before, and this should make us feel incredibly lucky. Because this mind of bodhicitta is such an extraordinary jewel, and it's so marvelous, just in that way, the amount of merit that arises from it is incalculable. It's marvelous. It's amazing. And so this verse, again, is a praise, which is focused on the generation of the mind of enlightenment. So all of us here are educated, but what happens often is that we read a Dharma text, and we can't really apply it to ourselves, and certainly we're not experiencing a feeling of connection, or we're not invoking in our mind the feeling that the text is describing. That's something we're not really able to do on our own, and that's why it's so important that we come and listen to teachings like these on a text, such as this one. As we're listening to the teachings, we should certainly be trying to connect with the teaching in that way, and then when we review and we're attempting again to evoke these feelings, we need to follow each and every word that we're speaking. So not just rotely reading through the words, but trying to really follow the meaning of each and every word. And then again, attempt to bring the feeling and the experience that the verse is describing into.
It's a special teaching she's offering right at that point. Looks like it's still on, actually.
Turn off then.
Are you there, Allison? No.
If it hangs up, it makes that.
She's calling back. Hi.
Max?
Yeah.
All good?
I'm good.
Hi.
We lost you for a bit, Alan.
Oh, did you not hear what I said? Because I could still see Ricochet on my screen, so I thought you could hear.
So awesome, yeah.
Yeah, we saw that was still running, but your sound went or something.
What part did you, where was the last thing you heard me say?
We need to follow each and every word and attempt to evoke the meaning when we're listening, something like that.
No, that was the end of what I said, and then I heard you say it was a special teaching.
Oh! Okay.
Why is that funny?
Well, because it went into silence right at that point, so we were all evoking what was coming next.
Oh,
Ricochet
just finished there, so I
thought okay. That. You have to experience it. There it is. Okay. So. I think I also mentioned this yesterday, but for example, when I gave Welvin Bodhisattva teachings in Denver, a lot of people who attended the Welvin Bodhisattva teaching have been practicing Vajrayana 20 years, 30 years, even 40 years. And they all felt really reading the translation and just try to understand or like read a little bit and participate the teachings and use the teachings or try to really apply the teachings are really different. They were saying that. And here in Ottawa, I'm sure some of you have been practicing Dharma for a number of years, but it's so important to always apply Welvin Bodhisattva teachings and read those verses and try to familiar with the verses. So this text has 10 chapters, and since I was maybe 10, 12, I memorized the root text. That's what Tibetan masters, when they teach a young Tibetan Lama who they think has some potential for the Dharma and can hold the teachings and can teach Dharma for others. So it's really different when you read and try to understand the verses and apply the each verses. Your understanding is going to deeper and deeper and more profound. But when we read books in the West, we do the scanning thing, and we really don't. We always try to jump into the main idea. Of course that's good. But sometimes we are become too creative. We don't want to follow the tradition. And some of us have having a hard time to accept following the tradition. Maybe I understand how you feel it's hard to follow the tradition, but maybe I really don't understand what's going on in your mind. But the thing is, if we really follow the steps of realized beings in India and Tibet, what they did and how they practiced Vajrayana Bodhisattva and how they practiced Vajrayana path, I don't think we need to be neurotic about the path. I don't think we need to worry about the path, because thousands, thousands, thousands of Indian siddhas and Tibetan siddhas, they reached enlightenment based on this tradition and this path. So we do not have to worry about it. But if we just try to be a scientist or bring that research idea and try to the wow, does this fit with this? This fit with this? Of course, it's a new thing. Science is really new to this world. That doesn't mean science has not been existed in this world. It has. We Tibetan and Indian masters discovered science way before Western people. But Western people really worked on this philosophy, and really Western people create some technologies, things that really useful right now. So still scientists are researching these things. But if also there's a, like a path, if you research that way, you can get to that result. But this practice, inner science, which is Buddhism, Vajrayana Buddhism, if we follow the step of Bodhisattvas who came to world in India and Tibet and other places, we can really be master of bodhicitta practice, aspirational bodhicitta, and the engaged bodhicitta. So we do not have to worry and be doubtful and be neurotic about the path and the practice. But the thing is, it's hard for us to accept tradition. Then we want to create something else. It's happening in North America. There are so many people call themselves Buddhists, but they really are not following the tradition of Buddhism. Vajrayana path came from India and Tibet and Nepal and those countries. We're trying to create a new version of Buddhism. I think it's okay, but the thing is, if you wanted to really practice Dharma, and I don't think you need to fix things. And some traditions can be hard for us, but this Vajrayana Bodhisattva practice, this is one tradition. That's how it is. And if we really read the verses, contemplating on the verses, and apply the verses when we're engaging rest of the world and our life, and also when we're on the cushion, so our understanding of bodhicitta, aspirational and engaging bodhicitta, become more profound and more
profound. Mamangi kerangi labiyate kerangi norma jakta momba shanchip kisem derik pe de badam nongi de badam rik pe de barendu tate kurji latane tene jupa shanchip kisem de longi de badam rik pe de ba indio sare yena ndi a shartam jupa shanchip kisem de rik pe de bare ta longi de ba de ni char ki nyam de loso
Tambar samba zam gi kyang san kim chod bi kya mag na sem jin ma ni tham cha da de dun ton da mu ju go sun go re te yen du tan ju pa shang chik ke sem da go jik la pe bi jam jang na han sem chik yo na yang sang ge tham cha nam chod ba bar ya le kyang san nam chen bo yim ba de do tan tan ju thang ma ke na sun go re te yen du sem jin ma li ba tham che ge du ma ma li ba dang jar ni du ma ge ju ma li ba dang jar ni Deva Tartupa Sanki Kim Jeva Tobiak Chet, Jinbadam, such a last of ban and production by Tuklan Yam Sudan Bate, Sonam Chamber in Batam, Sonam Tim Jim Chaba compared to Royatam, Tomoma in Baki, Yamni in Bate, Labgo Marius.
Ripshay was saying that verses 26 through 29 then are the praise and the support for practicing engaged bodhicitta. Up until now, we've mostly been talking about the vast motivation of aspirational bodhicitta and how that benefits beings. But on the other hand, just having that wish for beings to be free of suffering doesn't help them find actual happiness. So I'm going to read those verses. How can I fathom the depths of this goodness in this jewel of mind, the panacea that relieves the world of pain and is the source of all its joy? If mere benevolent intention excels venerating the Buddhas, then what needs to mention striving to make all beings without exception happy? So if that motivation is so great, then why do we need to even bother doing something? Although wishing to be rid of misery, they run towards misery itself. Although wishing to have happiness, like an enemy, they ignorantly destroy it. So even though we may wish for beings to be happy, we don't actually know how to be happy, and we destroy our own happiness. And for that reason, we have to actually engage in bodhicitta to try to make a difference in the world, or to try to at least help ourselves and others turn towards a better way of life that makes us more happy.
Mm-hmm. Yungyaki, Shavat, and Leka Chikla, Tene, Deva de Yungre, Samne, Tene, Sambatang, Revatang, Laklin, Lakpak, Shavat, Shinjalok, the Chaplain, Devando Jump, the Mukberango, Deva, Dastar and Jump, Songne, Tingune, Tongne, Tedabo Chapta, Yore. Maron Sokin, Doba Devando Nayam, Tuksum go on the Shorne, Tain Dick of Deva, Tang Niskap of Deva, Sputan Gichetto. Then if she was a car made of Nayam, took some tongue, took Naki, won the marshal yak if she had a chicked up at the Duptakio Mare.
So, Rinpoche is giving more commentary on verse 28. It's true that all of us want happiness and we wish to be free of suffering. And we try to create a situation in our lives all the time when that's going to happen. But because we don't understand the cause of happiness, we do it wrong. We think something is going to make us feel better, and ultimately, it's worldly relationships, worldly activity, wealth, all of these things aren't the cause of lasting happiness. So we do things that we think are going to gratify us and make us feel better, but they don't. So we're kind of doing everything backwards. We focus on instantaneous happiness, well, I'll feel better for a short period of time. And we're completely driven by our afflictive emotions. We're overpowered by our emotions. And for that reason, we destroy any chance we have that happiness.
Tati kajil kanjik dewe phong ba ta dungar ma dan de da la dewa kanji samje ba par dungar tham chak chu chi chang da tu chang da se che ba da de game tham kala da chi chang kala yo tu song ne de ne chu chu ke wa ke ge wi shang ne ni yo mare song sa lang ye ja pe o so nam te da gun kala yo song ne de da bo ko so nam chen bo yo ye ke ke sta ti yo mare su bi ore a ka re ne se na par dungar ki sta par na ru jen ba dewa mem khan ke sem chen te cho ki Devate, Tobia Kachet, Dumar Gyak Mongo de so par meba zoyaki, Nyamnim Chotikirvati, Shanship the same day. They didn't deal in Chotikirwaka, give Shanian chicken your mar and deal in Chotikirwaka, Sodom chicken your mar, so we are that they love it and they love Shanik.
And then
the
commentary on verses 29 and 30. For those who are deprived of happiness and burdened with many sorrows, it satisfies them with joy, it dispels all suffering. It clears away confusion. Where is there a comparable virtue? Where is there even such a friend? Where is there merit similar to this? So these verses are showing that there is no greater root of virtue than what is accumulated by practicing bodhicitta. And especially for beings who are constantly tormented by suffering, they show a style of meditation, a supreme practice of meditation that is strong enough to dispel our suffering. And for that reason, the verse says, where is there such a friend as this? Who is it that could teach us or help us to embody? What ordinary friend could help us to embody this kind of method? And where would we ever find such merit and virtue in our lives except practicing in this way? So Rinpoche will stop the formal explanation on the verses here.
Okay. So I'm going to stop there. Actual or formal teaching for this morning, and I would like to say several things that I have been thinking how we develop the daily practice, and especially I would like to say several things again about the Sangha. Sangha is so important, so we already have a group here, meets Wednesday. So if you wanted to be a part, I encourage you to be a part of the group, and mainly David and Nadine and Rosemary and others are organizing the group and meeting every Wednesdays. So in Ottawa, no, in Montreal, Patrick and Joanna and Guy and Alan Pierre, they are here, and also they have a group up there too. So I, on one hand, maybe people see I'm being selfish and have a group in Ottawa and Montreal. You can think that and I can take it. It's fine. I'm being selfish, but for good reasons. So the thing we have a group is developing our own spiritual growth and developing our own bodhicitta path, aspirational and engaged bodhicitta, and also having group helps others who want to start practice Dharma, and it's good to have groups, and if you feel have a karma connection with the group, I encourage you be a part of the group. It's good for you. If it's not good for you, I wouldn't be that selfish to create groups in North America. So more than welcome to be a part, be supportive, be flexible. And also there are other groups, it seems, in Ottawa. So if you don't feel fit in this group, then also you can find other groups. So the thing is, Sangha is so important. It supports our spiritual practice. And it helps us to connect other people. It helps us to understand rest of others, not just our own selves. And also, it really helps when you're in a part of a Sangha, it really helps you develop your bodhicitta practice. And it really shows you where your bodhicitta practice is. So I really encourage you to be a part of the Sangha. Try to not always put yourself in a tiny box. Then if you do that, you cannot get out of that box ever. Then you are going to feel misery ever. Well, if you wanted that, then there's nothing I can to say. But I am sure you don't want that. So therefore, spiritual companion, spiritual brothers, sisters, Sangha is so important. And when you go to a Sangha, this is my advice. You always be critical, because we habituated being critical in this culture, skeptical. And immediately you find a problem about the group. Then immediately you feel you are not going to fit in that group. So I have not seen a lot of heavy people in Ottawa physically. But there are a lot of mentally heavy people. So if you're mentally heavy, then when you go to spiritual groups, you feel there's no room, because mentally you're really heavy, maybe 10,000 pounds. Then you feel there's no room. Then you need to do that mental yoga and exercise, have that good shape to be able to fit any spiritual sanghas. So bodhicitta practice is the best mental yoga, and that lose your heaviness and make you fit in a spiritual group. Okay? So just be honest. Measure how heavy your mind is, or how big. Then make it flexible based on bodhicitta practice. So I'm not just telling you, oh, go to group in Ottawa and these guys and in Montreal. I'm not just saying that, but try to find a group that you feel so karmically connected and develop that relationship and try to spiritually mature. It's important. Okay? So that's the advice I have. And also, I think this is just for two groups in Ottawa and Montreal. I hope I will come back in spring. If I don't die, I will. But who knows? Life is impermanent, right? But the thing is, it's important to remember those advice. And also, I have been thinking, when we have a Wednesday meetings, some of you have been practicing Dharma for a number of years, and also you have received more Vajrayana instructions from me and also maybe from other lamas. So therefore, you want... Oh, you want to do it? Oh, sorry. Also, you want to deepen your Vajrayana path and practice. So I 100% agree, but also experienced Buddhists should be the best example for the beginners. So you should always remember that. Therefore, I have been thinking how you guys can go that middle path. I have been thinking if you guys need every Wednesday people who want a sadhana practice, like an Avalokiteshvara practice, I think maybe it's good to get to David's house early, 30 minutes or 35 minutes, how much time you need, and you guys know that, and to do the sadhana practice. And then, people who are just coming for book studies, they can come maybe, I don't know, if you meet 6:30, then you guys are already there, so you guys are going to complete the Avalokiteshvara Satna before maybe like 6:20 or something like that. Then when people come in, they're ready to engage the book study. And also, that doesn't mean you come earlier and pushing away other people. If other people are willing to participate the sadhana practice, of course you should. But if you feel like sadhana is too much for you right now, and ritual practices are too much for you right now, fine. But try to be flexible and do what you can do. And the second is, when you come in for book studies, we have this once a week, right? Dharma meeting. So we should remember what Dharma is. Dharma is a practice and a method and path which help us to reduce our negative emotions. Okay? Therefore, when of course we're studying, it's really important to do the book study, do the meeting accordance with the Dhamma. Conversation, action, of course, mind, all those we should try to make body, speech, mind into Dhamma. So what I want to say is, we should not have a lot of politics. Conversations. And the conversations that bring a lot of affective emotions. And ordinary conversations. It might you feel comfortable, it's nice to talk, to find someone to talk, but we're having this these conversations all the time, even in our dreams. Conversations either caused by desire, anger, resentment, jealousy, and so on. So even if when we're having a Dharma meeting, if we still keep that attitude, that is not Dharma meeting, that is a samsara meeting. Okay. So we're having that once a week, maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours. So try to remember, make it into a Dharma. That's so important. So when we have every Thursday opening practice, we do get together, of course, say hello, and if there's new people, always good to warming them, welcoming them, introduce them, and make sure everyone knows that person's name at least. And then settle in and do the book study. The end of the book study, of course, we should have some personal conversations. We should. So I am saying using this, like putting it the end of the session, because personal conversations most of the time take most of the session. So we won't have enough time to focus on Dharma practice. So I am more experienced because I have been organizing Dharma groups for more than 7 years. So, but when we really have some conversation at the beginning, but then go to Dharma, and at the end, if we wanna like talk and have a tea, perfect. And then you can have a tea and a talk, having some conversations and introduce, get know each other's. Of course, it's good to know each other's personal life a little bit. But be honest, we really don't want others to know our real personal situation. So that's what I think. So the goal is Dharma, and try to make it into Dharma. Welcoming part is so important. This is Western culture or North American culture. When you feel, when you go into a group and you look around, who fits you? And talk, Michael, yes. And then your world, Michael becomes your world, and you don't see any other people around you. In Dharma world, that's unhealthy. So when we're in Dharma, in this room, we should treat everybody equally. Everybody is your Dharma sister and the Dharma brother. And I have been encouraging Allison, even if there are 70 people, 80 people, at least I tell her, you need to find time to say hi. How are you? That's so important. But if we all take that responsibility and work together, in Chinese they have a saying, if everyone can be one-minded, even earth can transform into gold. So if everyone really work together for the sake of the Sangha, for the sake of the Dharma, we can really help others. We can really do something meaningful for our precious human life. So this is what I think. So if you agree what I think, and please keep that in mind and try to do things according with Dharma. And if you disagree, then there's nothing I can do. As Buddha Shakyamuni said, I showed you a perfect pure path. It's up to you, right? I'm sharing this experience based on living in US and also have been around Sangha, larger Sangha, hundreds of monks, and also a lot of lay people. So if everybody try to be flexible and compromised and learn that skillfulness, which we don't have, but we have a Bodhisattva practice, really help us to learn how to be skillful. So that's it, I think. And then I'm going to let you ask if you have questions. some questions. Then maybe we will do a short practice, and also maybe I want to make a group picture. This is the first way of Bodhisattva teaching in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, curly hair. Whoever is curly hair. I don't know.
John?
John?
The opposite of
crow. When you first started talking about Sangha, mm-hmm. you said something right before. You said, I want to talk about two things, this and Sangha, and then you spoke about Sangha, but I don't remember that first thing that you said you wanted to talk about. Did you?
Daily practice.
Daily practice. You said you were going to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Well, daily practice, a lot of you have a daily practice. But remember, combine the yoga practice. And the people who have a daily practice, who study, haven't been studying with me or with other lamas, who have a little bit of foundation, the thing is, be humble and remember the bodhicitta, day and night. Just try to remember it. Right now, you cannot perfect the bodhicitta practice, not now. But if you remember bodhicitta practice, aspirational, engaged bodhicitta, then one day, really, you can do those practices. So that's the homework which I gave for students in Denver and other places in US. So just remember the aspirational bodhicitta, no matter whatever you're doing. Right? So that's it.
Vijay, how do we work with people who clearly don't want to change? Because we're aspiring for everyone to wake up. Mm-hmm. But there's some people who don't have no interest in changing and who will die with no interest in changing their minds. Mm-hmm. So, how would you suggest we work with?
Okay, well, the only thing is, some people, it depends on your relationship, right? Uh-huh. If I am talking about this subject based on Asian culture, I can tell anything. And almost ordering, kind of, like, to my parents or my brother or some other people, because connection is so important and they really do listen.
Right.
But that, it depends on the connection, right? Mm-hmm. But if your connection is not that healthy or you do not have that kind of a connection, then it's better to accept who they are. Uh-huh. Accepting who they are is really, really important. And then the responsibility as a Buddhist have is be a good example. Okay? When I just met Allison and we married, that was a huge problem for her parents. They didn't want to accept. Of course, that's not their fault. Because who wanna broke son-in-law and educated family and wanted their daughter find like a doctor or something, right? So it was a hard time for Allison, but she wanted to fight and make them change. And I told her, go back. We couldn't stay together in Nepal because financially we couldn't. She had to come back and work and then find a job, things like that, make the plan for our future. I told her she had to stay with her parents, top of that, right? Mm. And see the parents every day, talk to parents every day. And I told her, don't fight. Don't talk back to your parents and show them who you are, and what path you're on, and this path is helping and transforming your body, speech, mind. Then eventually they have no choice. They will accept our relationship, and also they will really accept me. So he did that, and they accepted me as like a weird lama and who only talk about Dharma. Right? And even like a funny thing is, my father-in-law is not going to be a Buddhist. Never, ever, that's not going to happen. But we were coming to Colorado from Japan, moving from Japan to Colorado, he put up like prayer flags in the house, things like that, right? So that was a good start. And then he started to watch Dalai Lama's like meetings a little bit like that, and read a little bit of Tibetan history. The funny thing is, this summer, we went up to his house, and then he has a huge garden. And every time he takes me to the garden, and he has plants from Himalaya and all over the world. And he's really proud of to showing me plants from Himalaya. Right? And then, I don't know, a Christian group drove up, and they had the Bibles, and they come up. Maybe he wanted them shut up, but what he said was, "Oh yeah, but we're not interested the thing you're doing, but because we're Buddhist." So I thought, okay, are you using Buddhism to let them?
Yeah, to push.
But I didn't say anything. But so the thing is, some things you can, some things you can't. So just to be a best example, that's all you can do. And then pray. That's what we can do.
Continue to aspire.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to ask a question sort of built on this one.
What?
So I have both a friend and, because I'm a counselor in my job, a client who are married to individuals who have addiction problems and are quite emotionally abusive. My friend actually contacted me this morning for help about it, and I see my client regularly, and she's quite spiritual, so she has a spiritual practice. Her usual way of responding is actually probably in line with what you're saying. So she's very compassionate and understanding and accepting of where her husband is and the journey that he's on. But at the same time, he says very hurtful things to her often, and sometimes in front of their children. So I find myself kind of struggling with whether I should talk to her about boundaries or not, which I have done. And I don't know, I would like your advice on that, in terms of when does somebody put a boundary forth in terms of the other individual trying to actually harm them versus loving kindness, compassion, accepting where they are.
I think set up that boundary is so important as a bodhisattva. It's skillful. It's the skillfulness, thing about skillfulness. But ordinarily, when we set up boundary, either based on anger, resentment, hatred, so that is not healthy, right? If we want to set up a boundary based on healthy manner, make sure there's no hatred, no anger, no resentment, based on his benefit and also her benefit and kid's benefit. It's good to set the boundary based on compassion. That is a compassion, right? If she always let him to do that, then at one point he doesn't think he needs to change.
Exactly.
Right? So, but if you really set up that boundary based on compassion, loving kindness, for his benefit and family's benefit and kids' future, if wife or husband always let one of them do that kind of, like, say that kind of painful things or hurt that herself or kids, then she's letting her husband creating a really, really unhealthy relationship, not just between them, between the kid. And the kids will never ever forget. But if she skillfully handled that, okay, enough. But not from anger. So might be helpful. But I think addicted people need something. Okay. Now I'm going to, like, I do not have any hopes if I don't change. I cannot fix this relationship or I cannot survive. Until then, they don't want to wake up. Mm-hmm. Right? And in Tibet we have a saying, like Tibetan farmers who grow things, they have two stories of a house. It's a story. And then the first floor is for animals, pig, horses, cows, and they put them under them. It's really stinky and maybe they do not clean often. And then a nomad who never been to a farmer's place, and like a house, like a two-story house, and he was walking and he didn't know, he forgot where he was. And he fell into like a second floor into first floor. And owner heard, boom. Hey, are you okay, are you okay? I don't know, I don't think I should move, but is there another place possibly I can fall into, like, I am with pigs and those smelly place, but is there another, like, story to fall? So he really didn't move, and he really wanted to protect himself, right? So he thought, okay, if I don't protect myself, and now, again, I am going to fall into something else. So addicted people need that kind of experience. Until then, they are not going to change. So try to encourage, have that positive thought and set the boundary, of course. I think, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said yesterday a point about mixing the milk and water, bodhicitta with mind.
What's that?
You said the mixing bodhicitta and mind, like mixing milk and water.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that in the meditation practice, really, like when we think? We just repeat the words that was said.
Read the words, right?
Yeah.
And then one-pointedly focus on the word. And not letting any other conceptual thoughts corrupt. Right now you can do that. And at one point, because of your can be the shamatha practice, it really stabilizes your mind, right? And at one point, if you do that a lot, physically and mentally, you will have that connection, or you will have that experience, right? Yeah? Yeah?
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Like when you said concentrate on each word, you mean like a sentence or one idea?
Sentence or even like the Bodhisattva teachings? One verse?
Sentence.
Okay.
Sentence.
So not the actual word.
The meaning.
The meaning of the phrase. Mm-hmm.
Feel the meaning.
Okay.
Try to embodiment of the meaning.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
I was thinking about
In compassion, in my reflection, it is also based on self-respect and self-love. By that, I mean, like in my reflection, that it's not necessarily an ego love, but if I do respect life in me, and I love the life that is in me, if I do that for myself and I express it outwardly, gently, with respect to the other person, then I am in compassion.
Okay. This is a Western
thing. Western thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. So if you genuinely really generating the compassion, you do not have to separate, I should respect myself, right? You just have that compassion, and you do not have to worry. But we always put ourselves first. Therefore, first thing we can think of is, okay, I'm doing this because I'm respecting myself. But you are respecting not just yourself. You're respecting the marriage. You're respecting him. You're respecting kids. And you respect your family. That's more profound, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure I had written down the equality prayer properly, because it was different what I wrote down than what I had been using. I wrote down, may all beings be free.
Okay, that's fine. Just using whatever you were using. That's fine. This is just translating.
But I liked it. I just wanted to make sure that it was correct what I heard.
Okay.
May all beings be free of partiality and anger. Is that what was said?
I guess so. I don't know. Well, I think it's fine. Just their translation is so good. So I don't think you need to worry that. But it's good.
It's Allison's translation.
Yeah.
So I thought that it's
better. I think a textual translation can be a little bit different.
Okay.
When I give teachings, I give commentary on the, based on the words.
Yeah.
So then when she writes, so commentary is a little bit different. Meaning is exactly same,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not each words.
I felt this got more of the essence, maybe.
Okay.
Okay.
Then listen to the teachings again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Many times are for sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
In these verses, Shantideva says what sounds like an amazing thing, where he says that even to just to give rise to a benevolent thought, just one thought to help others, if I'm remembering it right, exceeds in merit worshiping all the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. It's like a greater merit just to have the thought to help others. Could you explain? Could you say a little more about that?
That's logical, right? So that's what the Sutra teachings say. So I 100% trust that. So I don't think I have a lot of things to say, but that's true, I think. Because the power of compassion is essential. Power of bodhicitta is essential. And the power of aspiration is the foundation of bodhicitta. Foundation of conventional bodhicitta. Foundation of ultimate bodhicitta. Right? So from that perspective, it should be true. Because if we lack compassion, loving kindness, practices for the foundation of aspirational bodhicitta, we cannot really have that kind of bodhicitta practice. We cannot generate that kind. But whenever we are train our mind based on for a measurable practice, and we're ready and to have that impartial aspirational bodhicitta, we can generate that. That is foundation of everything. That is the essence of bodhisattva, being a bodhisattva. If you lack that, you cannot be a bodhisattva. So therefore, I think when you think logically, when you think, oh, okay, on the top of that, if you have the engaged bodhicitta, and engaging and really putting yourself for others, of course there's no reason to There's no doubt that merit is so powerful. So I think it's just the foundation of Mahayana path and practice. Even for example, like in Buddha Shakyamuni's life story, one time he was in Halram, right? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
And then that thing. A minute he had that compassion, love, and kindness, and a Donglen practice, he went into like, maybe some of you do not believe Halram, but it's okay, Halram is on earth, no worries. And then they talk, him and other groups of beings, and that like machine kind of a thing, and then like really.
Like a blade.
Yeah. And then a minute, Shakyamuni's path lives, he saw it, and then he thought, okay, every single beings are going to experience this, and who are with me. And instead of them, please, I'm going to sacrifice for those beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he really perfected aspiration of bodhicitta because of the power of that aspiration of bodhicitta, right?
Yeah.
So. Okay, John.
Rinpoche, for loving kindness and compassion, may all beings enjoy happiness, and the root of happiness and the root of suffering. What are we considering the root of happiness and the root of suffering?
Root of suffering is the cause of the suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's self-attachment.
Get rid of the root of affective emotions.
Okay.
Which is ignorance. Come to go back.
Okay.
Right?
All
right. Yeah.
And then the root of happiness is Buddha nature?
The bodhicitta can be.
Right.
And also can be the Buddha nature, sure.
Okay.
Ultimate happiness is enlightenment, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Jean Jose Joe.